There are moments when the church calendar, which starts in November and works its way all the way through to the next November, starts with Advent and finishes with Christ the King. There are moments when the church calendar and the calendar we follow every day just dovetail beautifully. And Epiphany today, the first Sunday of Epiphany, is one of those moments when the start of a year, when you kind of look ahead with hope or uncertainty, with excitement or trepidation, how you're feeling about 2019 as it gradually works its way round, Epiphany greets us. And the first 6 weeks of the year, it offers us some eye-opening, enlightening, Epiphany moments, discoveries about who Jesus is, that allow us to frame the entire year in the light of who Christ is. So the next few weeks, that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be looking at who Jesus is and what we discover about Jesus in the stories right at the start of Epiphany, the season of Epiphany. And the hinge story, which moves us from Christmas with its lovely, I love it, manger scene, it's beautiful. Particularly love the cows, they're fantastic. Which moves us from the manger and the candles into Epiphany. The hinge story is this story from Matthew. Matthew's gospel is full of stories, where John's gospel is full of poetic theology. It says things like, John says things like, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and through him all things were made. In Luke's gospel, we have all these wonderful mystical moments of angels appearing, speaking to shepherds, and speaking to Mary. What Matthew gives us is stories. He says to us, be attentive to the stories of the world. For in the stories, we discover something new. And he offers this story, this hidden story, to explain to us, to highlight to us, that the entire universe was praising the birth of Christ. He doesn't just want to tell us about angels from heaven. He wants to tell us about a star that so many people missed. A story of people who were attentive to what God was doing in the world. And if I want to summarize my whole message today, is be attentive. Be attentive to the world, be attentive to the scriptures, and the task of a Christian is to be attentive to both of those things together. Because that's what this story gives us. It gives us a story of stargazers and quotes from prophets. The stargazers, we don't know very much about these magi. We don't know how many there were. Some people have said there may be 12. I like to think of them as 3 because that's a tradition. We don't know exactly when they appeared. If we go with Herod's appalling timing, he timed them as 2 years after the birth of Christ. So it took them 2 years travelling to get from one place to another. 2 years trying to understand this star that appeared. So they're the Johnny-come-lately of the Christmas story. 2 years later, they arrive. They were people who watched stars. Scientists, astrologers, astronomers, artists. I like to think of them as artists, as people who are attentive to what everyone else missed. Artists and scientists do very similar things. They like to be attentive to the things everyone misses. I sometimes think accountants are also in that bracket. I always remember a presbytery meeting when the presbytery meeting would go on and the presbytery accounts would appear and everyone would say they were absolutely fine, and then a voice would come back, moderator, moderator. The point on line 47 is in the wrong place. It's great when people are attentive to things. Because that's what these wise men, these magi, they were completely attentive to the world. Are we attentive to the world around us? My ministry in Glasgow, part of it is to work alongside Glasgow's visual artists. And what's wonderful about what I do is I go to their studios and I sit and talk with them. And I listen. Most of my work is listening. Listen to what people are doing. And they are the most astonishing people. They have devoted their lives to things people entirely miss. Just in the last few months, I've heard of one artist who devotes her work to searching for the light that is between trees. So that moment when you're walking through a forest or a wood and you see a bit of light, that's what she's working on. Or spoke to a sculptor who works in steel because he is examining the soft curve that appears in the bending of steel. Amazing. Or the artist who spent the summer on the island of Skye, beside the healing springs of Skye, listening to the voice of nature at the springs. And she developed this huge, big, like ear trumpet that she could listen to. And she could also sing back to them as well. But she spent a summer listening to see what was heard. Another man who spent his life doing incredibly detailed architectural drawings. And over the earlier part of the year, he went into Glasgow's independent newsagent and well drew everything in an architect's section of the newsagent. So you could see the bottles, you could see the suites, you could see the wrappers. Every detail was there, utterly attentive. There was another artist who was spending her time interviewing people who were third generation immigrants into Glasgow, mostly from the Asian Pakistani community, to find out what their experience is like, trying to bridge the culture they have grown up in from the culture of their family, and making artwork related to that. I was speaking to an artist a couple of weeks ago who was spending time examining her own soul to see what is there after the grief of her mother passing away. Because her artwork is very deep and her paintings are very personal. And so she was spending time being attentive to her own soul. It's amazing the attentiveness. And the methodology of these artists is to ask questions. Not to come up with a hypothesis or an answer, but simply to listen and to examine, to look in detail, to experience, to soak up the meaning. Like the Magi. To notice, to mark, to give some significance to what most of us would ignore. Well, there's a star. Oh, there's another star. But for them, whatever they saw in this obscure, unknown logic, they spent time examining, questioning. What is this we have found? What does it mean? Where is it going to lead us to? Discovering there's a king in Judea. And the message from Matthew is, if we search in the world and listen attentively, we will find Christ through our searching. For 2 years, that is what they did. They knocked on doors, they asked the question, and I'm sure in their heart, as T.S. Eliot describes it, there were voices singing in their ears that this is all folly. But they stayed with it. They were attentive. And so I would encourage you this year to be attentive to the world around you, to be attentive to the place you are in, to the people who are around, Because in them and in the world you will find Christ. Matthew in chapter 25 goes on to tell the story of the sheep and the goats. And what is it he says to the people who are not attentive? When you saw the least of these, and you did not see me. And as to those who were attentive, and saw in the least of these people who needed help and care and love, there was the face of Christ. Towards the end of his gospel, and at the beginning of the gospel, it's the same message. Be attentive to the world, and in the world we will find Christ. So often people have experience of God in the world, and we kind of hide it. I'm not sure what to do with it. I remember talking to an elderly farmer out in the fields of Midlothian where I was working as a minister, and I discovered two things about him after 10 years of getting to know him. I discovered, first of all, that he liked to make small bets on horses. It took him a long time before he would tell me that. But standing in that field, I discovered something else, that 50 years previously, he'd been working in a farm in the Welsh Black Mountains, and he'd been out in the fields on a sunrise morning, a misty morning, much like the morning we were standing talking. And he said he felt the presence of God. Said it was as if God was as real to me as you standing beside me. And he had not told anyone about that experience in 50 years. Because no one had said to him, we experience God in the world. God comes to us. Sometimes when we're not expecting it, like a star. To be attentive to those moments in all our lives. And if we're attentive to God in creation, isn't this just a wide story telling us that the heavens declare the glory of God? If we're attentive to God in creation, we find Matthew saying, it's the same story if we're attentive in Scripture. They don't contradict each other, they say the same thing. Matthew, if he's anything, is a storyteller. He loves to quote Scripture. All the way through Matthew's Gospel, you'll find quote after quote after quote after quote. Whether it's in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount saying, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, love your enemies. Or here, when the wise men, the Magi, come to them, Jerusalem, and they are quoted, by you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, out of you shall come a ruler. Matthew is saying, the world and the Scripture match up. St. Columba used to talk about, or the Iona tradition talks about, the big book of the world and the little book of the Bible, and how we need to be attentive and read both of them side by side. Fleming Routledge, the American theologian, talks about reading the Scriptures and the New York Times hand in hand in the morning. I don't know how you prepare yourself or what newspaper you will choose to read or what you do, but there is a great image of the world and Scripture together telling us. Our world is permeated by God. Our Scripture is permeated by the Spirit of God. Whether it's a word, a verse, or a story, being attentive to both, right at the start of the year. And it begins a long journey of discovery. 2 years for these Magi. And there's a kind of mirroring here between Magi, who are rulers, because obviously they were rulers that could walk into the court of Herod, and there's Herod. On the other side, there's Herod, who wants to control, and he controls the time, he controls the Magi, he gives them instruction. He's appallingly ruthless in his control wanting to assert his power, his place. And the story that this year we don't meet is the story of the slaughter of the innocents, all about a ruler wanting to retain power. Unlike these magi, who are rulers who are willing to go and to follow and to be led. And so for us, there's two images. Ones who are attentive to the world, attentive to scripture, and are willing to go where that leads us. And the ones who want, like Herod, to have everything under control. Where will this year lead us? Epiphany tells us that we will not be in control, but there is one who is. Epiphany tells us that God is out there at work. As Luke describes it, throwing tyrants from their thrones. As Mark describes it, turning us all into repentance in the kingdom of God. And Matthew tells us, with his gentler storytelling, we may have come here in one way, but one thing is certain, we'll head off by another journey, another route. Having been warned in another epiphany, in a dream, they returned to their own countries by a different route, as different people who had met Christ. And here at the start of 2019, the story of the Magi and their star, discovering a birth, discovering Christ, discovering that the world they're attentive to is changing, discovering that they have a new path. What a great way to start the year. To begin with ourselves. Attentive to the world. Attentive to the scripture. Attentive to what God is doing in Christ around us.